At Byers Volkswagen, we've been family-owned since 1897, built on trust, driven by innovation. And now, buying your next Volkswagen is easier than ever. Shop online, customize your deal, and finalize everything from home. Just stop by to pick up the keys. It's that simple.
Drive home a new 2026 Volkswagen Tiguan S for $286 for 36 months with $2,499 due at signing.
The next generation shops online, and we're driving with them at ColumbusVolkswagen.com or visit us by the airport.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 4/30/2026.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's Rosenborg on the field for Celtic tomorrow as Offutt, they announced profits of over £17 million. Rangers are without Jack and Ejaria as they head to Spain, but Steven Gerrard says his side aren't just there to make up the numbers, and Kenny Miller loses his appeal against the red card he picked up at Ibrox on Saturday. I'm Gordon Duncan, joining me tonight is Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi.
Yes, and certainly the figures posted by Celtic this afternoon will be of interest to their supporters. Their turnover is now £101 million, profits of £17 million. And on the field, Celtic prepare for Rosenborg tomorrow night and Villarreal against Rangers. The Rangers fans extremely excited as they are back in the European group stages.
This is it, Jim. This is the reality of it now. This balancing act between European football on a Thursday and then back to the domestic stuff on a Sunday. And as a neutral, how good is it to have both sides involved on the Thursday nights?
No, it's brilliant. It's brilliant for the game. It's brilliant for Scottish football. And I mean, I understand we'll all be jealous. We want to be in the Champions League, and we know that, especially when we see the games like last night at Liverpool and PSG. But listen, you know, for our two clubs to come through four qualifying ties, I think is fantastic. You know, these teams have got to go and get involved in these type of competition before there's even anywhere near a competitive match, and before they've had time with a new team, new players. I mean, particularly Rangers, I think, had such a change in squads. But listen, all credit to both clubs, and hopefully the group stages can bring more success.
I mean, Mark Guidi, it might not seem like too long ago, but it actually is. It's a good few years since we had this with both Celtic and Rangers. Rangers and Celtic going at it, yeah, in Europe on the same night. Yeah. Plenty for us to get excited about.
Well, yeah, I remember being on the beat, and they were actually both in the Champions League, Gordon, maybe 10, 12 years ago, and it was fantastic. But it's the Europa League just now. It's not the Premier competition. I will be interested to see the attendance at Celtic get tomorrow night for the Rosenborg. I think that'll be an indication of the appetite that the Celtic fans have for this tournament, bearing in mind they've been in Champions League the past 2 years.
Our reporter Ronnie Charters is in Spain with Rangers. We're going to get the very latest from Steven Gerrard and the Rangers camp a bit later on. Let's kick things off by looking at Celtic's situation. So Celtic fans, get in touch, 0141 951 1025. We're also on Twitter at ClydeSSB. We'll hear from Brendan Rodgers in a second. The breaking news, if you like, just not too long before we come on air, Mark Guidi, was the annual financial results. So we would be here all night getting bogged down in various figures, but if you pick out a couple of the highlights, group revenue increased now over £100 million, £101 million. The one that perhaps interests fans is profit. The profit before tax, £17.3 million. That's significantly up from last season as well. So that side of it looks pretty good.
It does, yeah. You know, it's good profits. It's good turnover. There's also, again, you know, neither of us are accountants, Gordon, not by a long shot, but it looks as though up until June the 30th, player acquisitions ins and out, both roughly about the £16 million mark. And those figures will not include the sale of Moussa Dembele, clearly, because this is up until June the 30th. But I'd imagine it would include the upfront payment required to secure Odson Edward. So certainly the club are posting good figures and good profits. But I would imagine that even the board and the manager would have preferred to have spent a bit more during the summer.
Now, Jim, the link between this and the football side of it, the side that we're all really interested in, is fans may well look at this and say, £17.3 million profit, I'd love to see the manager spend a bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, he tried to, you know, in the summer. It wasn't for want of trying The deals just didn't materialise, you know. So I mean, Brendan Rodgers himself stated that he was trying to get players in. You know, he tried to get Scott McKenna, tried to get John McGinn, and that's two at least we know of. And you know, they just didn't go over the line. So, well, Celtic were actively trying to get players in, but for one reason or another, it just didn't happen. So, listen, you know, the turnover over 100 million in Scottish football is phenomenal, you know, and it just shows you the size that Celtic is a football club.
Is that similar to your budget at Morton, was it?
Yeah, I can't even calculate how much that is more than clubs like Morton, you know, and it's just, as I said, it's astronomical figures. But, you know, the thing is, it's about the quality on the pitch, and fans will always look to see what, you know, what the quality they have on there. To make a profit, again, in modern day football is fantastic. You know, it's very, very difficult to do that, you know, and be successful. And you've got to remember, Celtic have won the last six domestic trophies. So they have been successful on the pitch and they have been successful off the pitch. You know, you can't complain too much about that.
We'd love to hear from you. What do you make of these financial results? Or indeed, if you'd rather just talk about on the field tomorrow, we'd love to hear from you as well. It's 01419511025. Go and give us a call just now, or you can tweet us at ClydeSSB. On the field, Brendan Rodgers is urging his players to be more prolific in front of goal tomorrow against Rosenborg. It's just 5 goals in the opening 5 league games. And the Hoops boss says he's not disappointed they're not in the Champions League, because he says quite simply, they don't deserve to be there.
We need to do more in the attacking third of the pitch. In every game that we'll go into and play, it's ensuring that we have that energy and that quality and being clinical to take opportunities. So that's something that we've talked about and focused on in our training, and something we'll look to bring into these next numbers of games. On paper, we've got lots of players that can score, but we have to take those opportunities. Be more demanding of ourselves now. I think that's our message. You know, we can penetrate more. But we said the possession's no good on its own. You know, we have to have that penetration. It's always been a big part of our game, especially against teams that are defending in a deeper block and a lower block. So we have to try and find a way through that and just ensure we have that real aggression in order to do that.
Is there still maybe an air of disappointment that you're playing on Thursday nights instead of Tuesdays and Wednesdays?
No, it's where we deserve to have been. We're not entitled to be in the Champions League. We didn't qualify. Simple as that. We arrive in the competition that we deserve to be in. So we respect that. And it's our duty to go and get as far as we possibly can.
Jim Duffy, be more prolific, says Brendan Rodgers. Is that the sort of obvious weakness to Celtic at the moment, if you can call it that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're not firing all cylinders in the final third, final pass, final effort at goal. You know, other teams are defending, as you said, deeper. They're trying to find a way of frustrating Celtic, and that's happened in a number of games this season. Even when they have played very well, they haven't, you know, won 1-0 against Hamilton, 1-0 against Rangers. They haven't maybe taken the opportunities that their play deserved. So, but it's not, I mean, you can do a lot of training, you know, do a lot of exercise, a lot of finishing drills, but ultimately it's down to confidence and creativity. And I think, you know, I think Brendan Rodgers looked at certainly at the start of the season as if he was going to just tweak the way he plays and going with two up front, Edouard and Dembele. He's always played with a one striker, and then all of a sudden Dembele went. So I don't know whether we go with the Griffiths, you know, Edouard. I'm not quite sure if that's some, a combination would work, because Edouard liked to drop off. Dembele was more of a target man. But he did look as if he was going to try that, and that may well have worked. So he's now going to readdress it. But I still think guys like Tom Rogic, who I think is an outstanding player, has got to contribute with more goals. I think that, you know, you look, Forrest last year scored a good number of goals. You've seen before that, it was Sinclair. So I think there's other players have got to contribute. But certainly you would look at the two main strikers in Griffiths and Edouard and say they haven't quite found their shooting boots yet.
0141 951 1025 to have your say on the phones. Peter's in Postle Park. I think the last time you called, Peter, I suggested we make that a bit of a tongue twister for the show, just to make sure we're on it. Peter in Postle Park, I've got it though. On you go.
Gordon, evening Mark, evening Jim.
Hi Peter.
Mark, I was just before my main point, I was at the Legends event on Friday night that you're hosting. You fantastic job, Mark.
Oh, thanks very much. But it was a good night. I thought all the ex-Celtic players were in good form, and Neil Lennon, Paul Hartley, Stan Petroff, and Gordon Strachan. But Gordon Strachan was particularly entertaining, I thought.
Yeah, it was indeed, Mark. It was a great night. It was a gift to my sons and that for my birthday.
Good. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Guys, obviously, it's great you know, obviously the financial figures coming out of Parkhead and that they do, but I just feel they've been a bit stagnant. Jim, you're saying their goals have got to come for our department, but they're missing something in the middle of the part or just half the striker, like that number 10, like a Nakamura or a Marafchik type player. And then obviously they've been found wanting with the sale of Musa, who they've left themselves short with two strikers, because obviously I think Brendan was prepared to go with like the two up top, but now with Musa gone, he can't really, because there's no go anybody there that's going to fill the gap or change it if one's no doing it. So that's why obviously now he's having to go back to the 4-2-3-1, and I just feel maybe missed
that
boat there.
Yeah, well, as Jim said there, I think too at the start of the season, I think it was the very first qualifier, was it Alice Kirt, and Celtic had Dembele and Edward up front, and they looked frightening, the pair of them, and you thought if this pair get a run, with all respect at the SPFL Premiership teams, they are going to run riot, and you could have, you know, I thought Celtic were going to run away with it quite comfortably, but obviously the dynamics have changed with Dembele being sold. I don't blame the club for that, because I don't think they were left with any option but to sell him, and they did bring in 19-20 million quid, but it leaves you with Griffiths and Edward. I don't know an awful lot about Edward's play, but certainly Griffiths, I don't think Griffiths operates at his best with a partner. I think he operates at his best on his own, so I can't see that being a partnership this season. But the other point you made, and the Jim that's made, I think it's time for others to step up to the plate, because in two of Celtic's five league games so far, and let's be honest, it's not been the toughest opposition, haven't they scored against St Mirren, haven't they scored against Hearts, and only one goal, albeit they won comfortably against Rangers, just the one goal and one goal against Hamilton. So we know where the problems are, and that's what Brendan Rodgers has alluded to. And I agree, Tom Rogic, James Forrest, and one guy I'd like to see contribute more, because we do know that he has the skill to do so, is Scott Sinclair. What's happened to the guy? You know, I think it's time for him to step up to the plate again. He's a terrific footballer, a first class guy as well. Well, a lot of time for him as a person, but his contribution hasn't been up to scratch in the past year or so.
Jim, how many times in the last lots of years have you heard that phrase? You know, Celtic haven't replaced Lubo Moravcik. I mean, it's, but on the other hand, you also constantly hear praise for Tom Rogic and Callum McGregor. So which is it? Does Celtic need to sign a player that's better than those two or not? Because those two things seem to contradict each other.
Yeah, well, again, you said you've got McGregor, you've got Rogic, you've got Ryan Christie there just now, who can all play in that number 10 role, if you want to call it that, just behind the main striker. They're all very good players, all creative players. They've been patchy, and I think that's it's fair to say that. But I think they are all very talented players. My, I suppose, biggest disappointment looking at Celtic just now is the possibility of a young player coming through. For decades, Celtic always produced the best young strikers in particular. You know, you can go back 30, 40 years and look through, and they're always find a top-class young striker who was ready to come through the ranks. Or they found somewhere, you know, maybe one somewhere else, like, you know, getting back, and they brought someone in from a Scottish club or
a Brian McClair or something.
Yeah, Brian McClair, Mo Johnson, all this kind of stuff. And, you know, but the bottom line is there was always talent. You know, Celtic always produced real quality. Now, I know Kieran Tierney's there, and I know James Forrest. I'm not saying Carl McGregor, they've came through the ranks. I'm not saying Celtic haven't produced players through the ranks. I'm just talking about this specific position. Normally, you would find someone. So if you lose a striker like Dembele, you know, one of the guys in the reserves steps up. He's the next guy coming through. But it seems to be for the last number of years, you know, I don't know when the last time Celtic produced a young striker of any real note. So I think that's something that should be concerning Celtic, because they have got some terrific young players, but that area seems to be one that's they've not seemed to manage to find that wee nugget somewhere. But there are creative players there, and they just have to find a forum. Like any team, they have to rethink a little bit, because teams are sitting deeper. They are denying Celtic space. They are killing the game. They are slowing the game down. Celtic's just going to find a different way of playing at times, just to try and overcome that.
Final word to you, Peter.
It's not amazing, Gordon. It's not so much that, like, the, I know also we've got, you're saying we've got Callum and we've got Rogic. I'm just thinking, after that, it's got that wee killer pass, like, Naka did and Lubo, and even like say, Stuart Armstrong can make their late runs into the box. Mark, is there any word on Lewis Morgan's pushing to get into the first team squad of it? Because obviously it's been a bit quiet with the boy.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been a fairly lengthy injury. Mark, he's obviously getting closer. That's the way these things tend to work. So you would imagine we'll be seeing him relatively soon.
Yeah, and you know, and if things keep going the way they're going in terms of middle to front and a bit of concern in that area of the field, then a fit Lewis Morgan, you know, has every chance of getting himself into the first team.
01419511025. Andrew's in Mount Vernon. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Gordon, and hi, panel. Thanks for taking the call tonight. I think we need to really look at these results today from Celtic Football Club, and I think all Celtic fans should be reading the Riot Act to the board. £27 million cash in the bank, £17.5 million profit, doesn't even include what we're going to get for Dembele, and yet we couldn't sign John McGinn. We're sitting 5 points behind Hearts, and the ineptitude during the summer of the transfer market, the transfer window, was there for all to be seen. And I think, Jim, I would like to know what your thoughts are on that. I think we should be embarrassed this afternoon.
I don't think any club should be embarrassed about making money, Andrew. I think that, you know, obviously you're a passionate fan and you think that they should be out there. But, that, you know, when anybody negotiates, they obviously negotiate for what they believe a player's worth. It's not the fact that Celtic didn't have the money. Everybody knew they had the money. But they obviously felt that they put in a fee that they felt that that particular player was worth, whatever player they go for. And it didn't happen and they didn't get them. And I think it's like anyone, because someone's got money doesn't mean you pay over the odds if you believe it is over the odds. So I as I said, personally speaking, I don't think you're saying reading the Riot Act. I don't agree with that at all. I think when you're a successful club in business, you know, you'll hear many clubs would be love to be in Celtic position, successful on the pitch. They had a poor summer in terms of the transfer window. There's no question about that. But more importantly, I think the players that are currently in the squad, I think their standards have dropped a little bit. Their level, performance levels have dropped. So I would be more concerned about the performance levels of the current group of players rather than perhaps one or two that Celtic didn't get. They did sign some players, remember, they did get some, not at the same levels they could have got. But I think reading the Riot Act, I don't agree with you there. I think that a successful business is a great model to have for Celtic.
It's also a balancing act, Mark, because Andrew quite rightly points out, the profit looks great, over 17 million. And yes, the next set of financial results will include Moussa Dembele's transfer, but they won't include Champions League money, obviously, because Celtic aren't in it. And let's not forget, Celtic's wage bill is very high.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all about a balance.
Celtic's wage bill in Scottish terms is astronomical, and it needs to be trimmed, to be perfectly honest. So that, with the greatest of respect, that they're carrying a lot of passengers, as happens at a lot of football clubs. You don't get every signing right, and when you carry a squad of 20-24 players, it will always look as if you are carrying two or three passengers just because they can't force their way into the squad. I wouldn't be embarrassed about it, but certainly the transfer window was not what the manager wanted, wasn't what the supporters wanted, and wasn't what the board wanted, even though they'll be blamed for not spending money. But what it was do, it absolutely turns the spotlight on Celtic once again in January, Gordon, because the way things are going, we could be shaping up for a tight season. They may well have progressed in Europe into the last 32 of the Europa League. They may not have by then, but certainly the manager and everyone concerned with the club will want reinforcements and quality ones brought in, not only for January to try and help them get over the line come May, to try and win 8 in a row, but also to make sure they are better prepared for the Champions League qualifiers should they win the league and they're back in the Champions League, rather than chasing their tails and being, for want of a better phrase, last minute Charlies trying to bring in players at the end of July in the middle of August.
Thanks to Andrew in Mount Vernon. Rangers fans, remember the kickoff tomorrow is a bit earlier, so this is your last chance really to have your pre-match say ahead of Villarreal against Rangers. It's 01419511025. Give us a call. We're going to get the latest from Spain after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.
Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Rangers fans, as I said, this is your last chance to have your say before tomorrow's game, because it kicks off just as the show starts tomorrow. So get all your thoughts in, please, ahead of Villarreal against Rangers. Remember, no Jack, no Ejaria. Even Graham Dorans travelled, not seen him in a while. Alfredo Morelos suspended. So Rangers fans, how do you want your team to go about it in Spain tomorrow? 0141 951 1025. Now, what a day it's been, Jim Duffy. You had to fight off fallen trees and branches and all sorts to get here. One man though who has no such concerns is Ronnie Charters. He's out there in Spain. I hope you've got the sun cream on, a man of your complexion.
We've had this conversation, but the Factor 50's on and we are basking in 32 degrees
make me sick.
Weather. I know, so Jim Duffy, I apologise, but I'm sitting in the El Madrigal Stadium with a pair of shorts on and the sun is still absolutely splitting the skies, Gordon. I'm not going to lie to you.
Ronnie,
right, okay.
Sorry, Ronnie, it's Matt. You sound like you're sitting in a helicopter. Where are you?
Well, I can tell you what's happening, actually. The El Madrigal Stadium and the ground staff are out cutting their grass to make sure that it's all in pristine condition. It is like a bowling green, to be fair. It looks absolutely lovely. And I'll tell you, I'm actually sitting in the dugout because the security is so good at the El Madrigal Stadium that they've let me walk from the press box all the way through the tunnel. And I'm actually sitting on where Stephen Gerrard or Gary McAllister will be sitting in around, well, just less than 24 hours' time when these two sides go head-to-head.
Ronnie, tell me this, is it a sellout tomorrow night?
We understand it is, yes, we understand. Yeah. A very good crowd indeed. There were one or two tickets today. I turned up to the stadium earlier on to just get a bit of bearings, and one or two of the women who are working in the club shop were saying they've had plenty of people coming in getting tickets for this one and they don't have many left. She expected it to sell out. Obviously, the Rangers contingent, the 2,200 of them, are sold out. They're already there, making a lot of noise in and around the Villarreal town square that it was there. But yeah, we're expecting a full noisy crowd here, and it's just yellow and blue as far as the eye can see here, Mark. Yeah.
I don't have a great deal of knowledge, Ronnie, but from what I do know, it's not the biggest town. What can the Rangers fans expect in terms of surroundings, and then of course the stadium that you're in as well?
Well, one thing I think the Rangers fans may indeed enjoy is the fact that surrounding the El Madrigal Stadium there are about six or seven bars in one line right next to each other where a few Rangers fans were camped out today. But it's a stunning stadium, and in and around small little villages and whatnot, you just
see it's an industrial town, isn't it?
Yeah, you see the big yellow dome that is the El Madrigal, and it sticks out to you straight away, and it is phenomenal. And you know, the people are lovely. You get a pint for €2.50 if anyone's looking to enjoy themselves in that way. And I must say, it really is. I'm sitting here now, and to my left is the three-tier stand, and it's magnificent. And the highlights, I suppose, where Rangers have come, they're now playing one of the well-known teams in European football. You know, you look around the stadium, you see some of the names, you know, Marco Senna, Santi Cazorla, who could indeed come back in to feature for Villarreal tomorrow. So It's a fantastic sporting arena, and one where Rangers fans will you know, say to you that this is where the club belong.
That's an interesting point, Jim Duffy, because it reminds me, not so long ago Rangers were playing, no disrespect, at places like Elgin. I remember you and I going to cover the game, and I've told this story before. It was so cramped, it was so chaotic that you were sitting in front of me, and when we're supposed to have the conversation, I spent the 90 minutes talking to the back of your head. So as Ronnie says, this, for the Rangers fans who follow the team everywhere, this will be quite a big moment tomorrow.
No, it's fantastic, you know, to get back to this level. As I said, that's all that hard work and all those qualifying ties and difficult. I mean, the last game away, having nine men but still managed to get that result. Shows you the spirit that Rangers have, and particularly in away games, very tactically astute for a young manager. You know, the performances away from home have been terrific, but they will need to up their game against Villarreal. Any Spanish club, as you know, is going to be technically very good. They're going to keep the ball, possession based teams, move it quickly. You see, if the temperature is as Ronnie said, warm, you know, you can't go and chase all over the place, because in the last 20 minutes there'll be nothing left. So you have to be streetwise as well, you know, game smart, all of those things that Steven Gerrard will be emphasising to his players. But you know, if you're going to go and play counter attack, you have to make sure that when you do counter attack, that you know they're successful, because they're going to be few and far between. And you know, but it's absolutely brilliant for Rangers to be at this level again and playing a club like Villarreal. Again, it makes you think, yeah, that's us, we're back in the big time.
Ronnie, you've just been at the pre-match press conference with Steven Gerrard. What was he saying to, especially with regards to, you know, how Rangers go about this, what their aims are really for this group?
Yeah, I must admit, very relaxed, both on the training ground and in the press room. You know, laughing and joking with a lot of us in the press. I suppose really just looking forward to this one. But he did, the question was posed to him, you know, Rangers coming into this one from working back. What is the realistic aims of Rangers in a very tough group? And I suppose the toughest game, away to the top seeds for their first game. A very diplomatic answer. He respected Villarreal, but he also did say that, you know, they're not here to make up the numbers. Steven Gerrard quite rightly pointing out that they're here to leave a mark, not only in this game, but leave a mark in the Europa League group stages.
Yeah, I don't think this game tomorrow highlights how far I've took the group. I think it highlights how far the team have come themselves and how much they've grew and how much hard work and effort they've put in to deserve this stage. But we all believe it's where this club should be. You know, we're a huge football club who's had difficult times. I don't think many give us a chance to get to this stage. And it's quite good. We're in a good place. If teams want to underestimate us or write us off, it's fine. What's important to me is the players and what's happening in the dressing room. And I can see a togetherness growing. I can see a team growing and I'm happy where we are at this stage.
And Ronnie, what specifically about tomorrow then? Because this is a Villarreal side, perhaps not firing on all cylinders at the start of this campaign, but they finished fifth in the Liga last year, clearly a very good side. So how does Steven Gerrard plan to go about this one?
Yeah, he was asked that specific question by a member of the Spanish media. They said to Steven Gerrard, you know, you played in a very British team. Whenever British teams come to Spain, they play a certain way. Is that your aim tomorrow night, to hit them on the counter and play this long ball? Steven Gerrard alluded to many factors, you know, Kyle Lafferty playing up top on his own, which he's confirmed would be the case now that Morello is suspended. But he did also say that whatever the players he has, the only aim and the first aim will be to win.
I think what's important is when you're a manager, you have to play to your strengths. You know, you have to look at the players that you have in the dressing room, find out your strengths and your weaknesses. And obviously we're very new, very young team together, so we've been working on a style, and the style is not to play long. We want to try and play football as much as possible, but at the same time, if we can get an advantage with a long ball, I'll use it. I'll play to the strengths. It's not about me and everything looking great on the eye, it's about winning. So I'm prepared as a manager to do what it takes to win.
Steven Gerrard there. Hopefully we'll hear from Kyle Lafferty a bit later in the show. So Ronnie, I take it early night, lots of homework ahead of tomorrow's game. Is that what lies in wait for you this evening?
I did allude to the fact there are four or five bars right outside El Madrigal, but I will promise I'll be straight home to the hotel.
Good man.
Making sure that my stats are ready for tomorrow night kickoff. 5 to 6 local your time, should I say, Gordon?
Yeah, professional as always, Mark Guidi. That's the way it's got to be in these trips, doesn't it?
Are you staying in Valencia, Ronnie, or are you in Villarreal?
Yeah, we're in Valencia with a 10-minute train journey to Villarreal.
Valencia's lovely. Good. Get down to the beach, some beautiful restaurants in Valencia. I remember being there with Celtic and Rangers 10, 12 years ago, two or three times, and you will absolutely love the atmosphere in the stadium tomorrow night. When I was there years ago, it reminded me of a kind of time castle type atmosphere. So it's going to be a hell of a tough shift for Rangers to get in and out of that game tonight.
And that was Wish You Were Here with Ronnie Charters and Mark Guidi. Rangers fans, let's hear from you then. Come on, the last chance to have your say before the early kickoff tomorrow. 01419511025. Mark is in Partick. How do you want to see your team go about it tomorrow, Mark?
Well, what I would do, obviously, put Flanagan at right back. I would put Tafanir further forward. And on the left side, I would play the Croatian lad at left back, and I would put Kandaeus in front of him to keep him cover.
Okay, he's got it figured out.
This guy, Sadiq, I mean, what's happened about the guy? Because he's not even made the bench at Ibrox. I think he should be, actually, I don't even know if he's Strafford with the squad. Guy they got for Roma, he must be a good player if they've got him for Roma.
Well, you would counter that, Jim, by saying, and I'm not saying he's not a good player, by the way, but Steven Gerrard clearly sees him every day, and he's obviously not a judge to be making an impact ahead of Morelos or Lafferty at the moment. That's quite simple to see.
Listen, he was a young player, he was always going to take time to adjust sometimes. You know, I always say that he comes from a different country, you know, a different style of football. You know, he comes to, you know, into Scotland. It's a completely different ball game, and he has to adapt. You know, not just on the pitch, but off the pitch, everything, the language. You know, there's many things that these young players have to, and some you know just click and off and running, and others take a bit of time, take a few months. So I think you got to give the boy a few months to see if he can settle in, and then make a judgment on him. But you know he's a young player with Rangers thought had potential, and I don't think they ever thought he was the automatic, or else they wouldn't have fought so hard to bring in Kyle Lafferty. So you know he's a young guy, and he'll just need time to find his feet at Rangers. As far as the system and the shape goes, I wouldn't. You know, I think Tavernier will play right back. I'd be amazed if he moved him. You know, ahead one. I think. You heard Steven Gerrard's interview there saying that, you know, they had worked on a way of playing that, and they believe that this is the right way to play, and I think that'll include Tavernier. Just give him a new contract there. He's team captain. I don't think they'll shift him around. I know a lot of Rangers fans think it'll be better one ahead. It doesn't always work that way. Sometimes players are better coming from deeper. They see the game better, whereas they're further ahead. You know, they're in a congested area. So no, I don't see that. I think Borisic is a terrific signing, I have to be honest with you. I think he's a terrific left back. But it's more about the midfield. You know, you have to condense the midfield, push them out wide. Generally speaking, you know, it's general. It is you know, they like to play those little intricate 1-2s and play the ball through. So you want to try and push them wide. Say, go and throw the ball into the middle, and that's where goals and Katic, for instance, should be able to deal with that. So, but what you don't want to do is leave space. So I think the most important thing for Rangers is to make sure their midfield is very compact.
On that front then, Rangers fans, I suppose the question for you would be, how big a blow is it going to be to not have Ryan Jack in that holding midfield role tomorrow? 01419511025. Tariq is a Rangers fan in Maryhill. Hi, Tariq.
Hi, how are you doing, panel? Good evening.
Hi, Tariq.
I was wondering, because I was listening last night at the show, and Roger Hanna, he made a sort of like a bit of a comment, and it was tongue-in-cheek. I mean, I think he maybe shot himself in the foot, because he says that Celtic are the best team in Scotland. Now, I've always believed myself that if you're the best team in Europe, you win the European Cup. Celtic won the league last year, but they won it this year. Still, they play for this year, you know? And that was really just a point to say that you should watch what you said, Roger, because you got that one, I think, a wee bit wrong.
So are Hearts the best team in Scotland? Is that what you mean?
It might be, in his opinion, the best team in Scotland. Now, I mean,
I get that, but I'm saying, if you disagree, who is it then? Is it Hearts, because they're top of the league? If your system is to go in the current season.
Well, at this moment in time, Hearts are sitting top of the league, so there should be a bit of respect there, because at the end of the day, they're on top of the league. Everybody else is chasing the pack.
I could be wrong, Jim Duffy. I don't think Craig Levine will be too offended at anyone saying Celtic are the best team in the country at the moment, will he?
Yeah, they are. I mean, the thing is, statistically, over the last couple of years, they've been miles ahead of everyone else. So that's the thing. So, you know, until such times as people win the trophies, beat them at the end of the season. And again, as I said, if you ask anybody at this stage of the season, you know, that's an opinion. Someone will give their view on it. It's only when the trophies are given out will you know if you're right. None of us can see into the future, but you're asking an opinion. And I think, like, when Roger's talking, he still believes that squad-wise, quality-wise, Celtic are the best. And I think, you know, by and large, I think a lot of people think that. Obviously, not many Rangers fans. And again, support your team, and you believe that you're getting there. But the last Old Firm game, I think, says that Rangers have still got a bit to go. But Hearts at this moment in time are firing all cylinders. And I love the fact that that's happening. And while there, everybody's talking about Celtic and Rangers, Hearts are just nicking the points, just keep adding to the tally. And, you know, you just never know. They might just put a fight up and throw a spanner in the works.
The last thing Craig Levine will say ever in a press conference, unless it's the last week in May, is we are the best team in the country. You know that, Gordon.
Yeah. Remember, a couple of suspensions tomorrow. Morelos and Flanagan for Rangers. Jack and Ajaria didn't travel. So how would you like to see them line up? It's an early kick-off. Last chance for you to get your thoughts in. And Celtic fans as well, financial results today and a big game tomorrow. We'll continue the discussion after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. A team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
It's Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. You can tweet us at Clyde SSB as well as giving us a call. We're going to hear, hopefully, later in the show from Kyle Lafferty. Ronnie Charters is out there in Spain, so hopefully he's not disappeared for some tapas just yet.
Joining Ronnie in the dugout,
and he's going to give us some thoughts from Kyle Lafferty. So we'll get your opinion on those a bit later on. But let's stay on the phones at the moment. Brian is a Celtic fan in Moss Park. Hi, Brian.
Hi, I can make a couple of quick points. It's only one subject that's obviously only one problem that will just cause one quick answer. I was just listening to Jim and also to Mark earlier about Celtic's money in the bank, Celtic's profit, and Celtic no wishing to spend money on players, no, just the ship and the staff. I mean, I don't know any abiding football fan who actually wants a club to have a lot of money in the bank, a lot of money in profit, but not have a good team on the pitch. Ultimately, it's about having your team on the pitch, and as long as your team's not getting into deep debt. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's not about shareholders taking home a lot of money. And even like, I mean, John, I made a big point. I was on about John McGinn for a few months. John McGinn was the ultimate one, 2.75 million. Even if prepared to pay that. And I just think it's like, football is a sport that's by and large like no other business. People don't go into it to make money. People go into it because it's their pet whim. I made so much money doing something else. I'm going to have a pet whim and go and do this. And if I make some money, it's all the good, but I'm there to put something into what pleased me when I was a child, what pleased me when I was a parent, taking my kid to the game. It's what sort of gave me pleasure early in life, and now I'm going to enjoy this and hopefully other people can enjoy it. Not a money-making exercise, but Celtic seems to be.
Well, I think the John McGinn one, Brian, I would agree with you on. Celtic did eventually agree a fee, but it was just a bit too late. By that point, Aston Villa had wooed John McGinn and his family. But you know, I think with the benefit of hindsight, Celtic should have been more aggressive in their negotiations with Hibs, albeit there's a difficult relationship between both clubs and that didn't help the situation. However, I've said it at the time, I'll say it again, I think not getting John McGinn is one that they will regret at the moment and years down the line. So if Celtic want to bring him back 2 or 3 years from now, he'll probably end up being a 15-20 million player in bout of Celtic's league. That said, there's a balance in that because, yes, certainly the team can be improved. There's no doubt about that. And the manager wants to bring in another couple of players. However, they still have a really good squad there. I mean, when you look at the wage bill and what they've put out, there's a lot of money there. I mean, the wage bill is just far too high. It's not sustainable, particularly if they don't get in the Champions League again next season. So, I as a supporter, yes, you would think, spend a bit more money, you know, but on the other hand too, you've got to keep something reserved. You can't just go and, you know, spend every penny. You've got to be sensible with it. But as a supporter, I would agree, Brian, there'll be a wee bit of frustration there, but there is a chance to go and make up for that in January. There will be another window in January, and once again the spotlight will be on the club to see what they do.
Yeah, I mean, I take on board what you're saying, but I mean, the Champions League's gone, the qualification's gone. I'm looking at some of the teams that are still in the Champions League, and we could give these teams a good game. And I think we've just been lacking by not going for it. I mean, AK Athens, I mean, by your aside and all that sort of the politics there, I mean, we should have progressed to the Champions League.
Yeah, and to be honest, the current Celtic team should have been good enough to beat AK Athens. You know, even without one or two additions, they should have been good enough to win that tie.
Jim Duffy?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think we said that, you know, listen, you know, you want quality on the pitch, but Celtic have got a huge squad and you can't just keep adding players after player. You know, you have to get players who don't just add to the squad, but add to the team. You know, the first 11, are they better than Cham? Are they better than Scott Brown? Are they better than, well, Dembele was there at the time, the transfer when they paid £9 million for Edouard. Yeah, they could be looking at maybe a wide player, maybe a centre-back or whatever it happens to be. But, you know, you can't just keep adding player after player. You then have a first-team squad of 30-odd players and it just becomes ridiculous. So there has to be a trimming of the squad. You have to bring quality rather than quantity in. And, you know, that pool of players is very, very small. For Celtic to try and work within that group of players and their budget, the market that they're going to be in for, so the what they can pay in a transfer fee, what they can pay in wages, and also with what players want to come and play in Scottish football, not guaranteed Champions League. Yeah. So it's a very, very small group of players that you're targeting there. And as I said before, Celtic did target some of those players. It wasn't for the fact that they didn't put offers in. They just felt that the offers they put in were fair and reasonable. And the clubs obviously decided that they would turn them down.
Okay, thanks to Brian in Moss Park. Along a similar theme, Ian is in Shettleston. What's your take on this, Ian?
Yes, how you doing, lads? You mentioned the word frustration there, right? And there's two or three Celtics have been on the radio talking about this. But honestly, if you think, you've never been in business, obviously. I have. Peter Lawwell has cost us, and might cost us, about £50 million this year. Peter Lawwell, if we had bought the players identified by Brendan Rodgers, we would still be in Europe. We would, the potential is £40 million. Nextly, he's going to cost us Boyata. He's going to go for nothing this season. For nothing. You could have got £9 million for him. Because they knew when they went into the window, the shop window, somebody would probably come up for him. They knew this well in advance. Didn't they find a replacement for him? They could have had £9 million and Rodgers would have sold him. Brendan Rodgers would have sold him if he'd have had a replacement. No replacement. That's £49 million. Again, the boy McGinn, who I would have loved to have seen. I would have paid for McGinn myself if I had the money. McGinn, the profit you would have got off McGinn in a matter of a couple of years would have been £7 million. You look at me for him, you would have gone Armstrong. £56 million that board has cost us. £56 million that this board has cost us this season.
Ian, can I ask you, I mean, I do bow to your superior business knowledge, but I'm curious because you blame the board for costing you £60 million in your words. So I'm struggling to understand though why, on the other hand, you wouldn't give them credit for turning over more than £100
million. Listen, give them credit. First of all, Peter Lawwell and that board wouldn't have brought in Brendan Rodgers because they wouldn't have paid his wages.
No, I get that, Ian, but I suppose what I'm saying is you're saying that the board is going to cost Celtic £60 million, but I'm telling you that the facts are here in black and white and that the profit is, you know, £17 million, they've turned over £100
million. £17 million, hold on a wee second, right? Just to finish my quick point there, Desmond Dermot brought him in. Peter Lawwell would never have gotten him in and the kind of wages. First of all, the guy brought in, again, £60 million for the Champions League in the first 2 years. First 2 years. He's turned up the two players in there that go for just nearly £3 million into £27 million, and there might even be add-ons. That's £25 million of profit. That guy's brought us in £85 million of profit in the last 2 years. Brendan Rodgers has no name.
Well, it's not profit. That's what I'm telling you. The profit is for the last year is £17 million, and that's up significantly. The profit last year was £6.9 million. It's now 17.3. So the sums are a wee bit off.
Ian, your figures are hypothetical as well, yeah. Ian. You're presuming if you signed one or two players, you qualify for the Champions League. You can't guarantee that. There's no way you could say.
You can't say
they would have got £40 million. That's a hypothetical figure. That is possible. But not, you know, you can't say that they've cost them that. And also, there's many Celtic fans, obviously, would say it was good piece of business to keep Boyata because they didn't have a replacement rather than actually sell him for the money because Celtic didn't need the money. So it all depends on which side of the fence you want to sit in. But listen, you know, getting the money for Dembele was a huge profit. And again, that's all down to the fact is that, you know, Celtic system has found Dembele at £500,000, whatever it has to be. And that system included Peter Lawwell. Believe me, he was the guy that put people in place to go and find these players. So I have to be honest with you, I think that, you know, Peter Lawwell, over the last, whatever, 10 years or so, has done an unbelievable job at Celtic. I can't believe he's getting criticised.
Ian, just one thing, just to play devil's advocate, and I like Brendan Rodgers, he's been an absolutely fantastic manager for Celtic and will continue to be so, but anytime something good's happened, you've praised Brendan Rodgers and the players. Anytime something negative has happened, as in not getting into the Champions League this summer, you've blamed the board. What about the players that were on the pitch?
I have to say something to you, Mark. Brendan Rodgers is the manager. Brendan Rodgers sees these guys every single day.
Yeah.
He knew that team needed freshened up. Mm-hmm. They ran them into the ground. That poor boy Tierney played more games. This is a statistic that I read recently. I can't mm-hmm. back this up, but I read it on a paper. He played more games than any other player in the whole of Europe last year, that boy. Over 57 games he played. Now, yeah. If that was any of their boys, any of their sons playing, they would have said to Rodgers, here, hold it. You're running that boy into the ground. They never even got a left back. Who have they brought in this year? They brought in two frees.
We did bring in Izaguirre to help him, I suppose.
A free player. They brought in another free player. They brought good in Kilmarnock. They brought in a loan.
Spent 9 million on Odson Edward, Ian.
Listen,
Edward
is...
That doesn't suit Ian's argument, Gordon.
To be honest, I do have to move on. I'm very late for this already.
Beat the Pundit. With goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
It is time for Beat the Pundit. Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi both standing by. If you fancy it tonight and you want to take them on, 0141 951 1025. Do it right now because you only have until the news at 7 o'clock to play tonight's Beat the Pundit.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're building up to two massive games in Europe tomorrow night. A Rangers first up away at Villarreal, and then of course Celtic at home to Rosenborg a bit later on. So keep the thoughts coming. We'll get back to that after we play this.
Beat the Pundit. With goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
It is time for Beat the Pundit. Jim and Mark are both standing by. One of them is going to be up against Michael from Cathcart. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
How are you feeling? Fancy your chances? Confident?
I'm nervous just because when I play at home, I usually either steamroll it or I get zero. So
that's the way of it, Mark. It's always a bit easier at home as well, isn't it?
We're all the same.
Listen, don't you worry, Michael. Don't you be nervous, because if you think these guys don't get nervous, you're wrong. I see the panic on their face every time the music starts, and every now and then they have an absolute nightmare. So don't you worry at all. Right, heads, it's going to be Mark Guidi. Tails, it will be Jim Duffy. And it is heads. So Mark Guidi up against Michael from Cathcart. I'll give Mark Guidi some Clyde 2 so that he can't listen to you, Michael, and we'll get you off and running. Just be calm. Listen, you can pass if you want, Michael. Just be quick, pass them, and we'll get on to the next one if you don't know it. You ready?
Yep.
Right, let's do it. At which stadium do Benfica play their home games?
Pass.
Who was Brendan Rodgers' first club in senior management?
Watford.
How many Champions League hat-tricks has Lionel Messi scored?
9.
Who finished runners-up in last season's Betfred Cup?
Motherwell.
Which former Rangers manager is the boss of FC Utrecht?
Africa.
Who scored Liverpool's winner against PSG last night?
Robert from you.
Now, what's the nationality of Rangers defender Borna Barisic?
Croatian.
There we are, that wasn't so bad, was it?
Not sure.
Not sure, right, let's bring Mark Guidi back. Mark, you with us?
Yep.
Right, same set of questions to you. Get the clock up and running, let's do it. At which stadium do Benfica play their home games?
Stadium of Light.
Who was Brendan Rodgers' first club in senior management?
Watford.
How many Champions League hat-tricks has Lionel Messi scored?
12.
Who finished runners-up in last season's Betfred Cup?
The Aberdeen.
Which former Rangers manager is the boss at FC Utrecht?
Dick Advocaat.
Who scored Liverpool's winner against PSG last
Firmino.
Night? At what nationality is Rangers defender Borna Barisic?
Croatian.
Okay. Michael, you weren't sure. You've heard Mark Guidi's attempts. Are you feeling any better?
Close.
It's definitely close. You're right about that.
Oh, I think I hope one doesn't do me in. I've just realised.
I can't believe it. Anyway, let's go through them.
Motherwell,
yeah.
Right, we'll get to that. At which stadium do Benfica play their home games? It is the Stadium of Light, or in Portuguese, you want to give it a bash? Estádio da Luz. There we go. Yes. So Mark Guidi got it. 1-0 to Mark. Who was Brendan Rodgers' first club in senior management? Watford. So you both got that. 2-1 to Mark Guidi. Champions League hat-tricks for Messi?
8.
It's 8. So it stays 2-1 to Mark Guidi. Mark Guidi, I mean, yellow card definitely for this one.
You're right. You're
who
right.
finished runners-up in last season's Betfred Cup? It was Motherwell in both cups, remember. So Michael got it right, and that means it equalises 2-2. Which former Rangers manager is the boss at Utrecht? It's Dick Advocaat. You both got it. You're still level. Who scored Liverpool's winner? Firmino. You both got it. Still level. And the nationality, did you get that one? Firmino?
Yeah.
You just looked at me funny there, yeah. And the nationality of Rangers defender Borna Barisic, Croatian. You both got it. You're still level.
Oh.
And we're on to the old tie break.
This is a
good question crazy. Because Jim Duffy would hate this question. It's exactly what I said when it got handed to me earlier. Right. Here we go. Michael, I know it's your first time playing, so here's the way it's going to work. I'm going to read the question. I'll get Mark Guidi to write his answer down, and I'll then invite you to give me your attempt. Is that alright?
Yep.
Right, the question is this. This year's Europa League final is going to be played in Baku, Azerbaijan. If Celtic or Rangers were to make it,
how many miles
would they have to travel from Glasgow to reach the final? Mark Guiri.
Azerbaijan, Baku.
Baku, yeah. As the crow flies. I'm going to need someone to help me with a calculator here, no doubt about it. Show me your answer, please, Mark Guiri.
Hold on.
So Baku to Glasgow as the crow flies. Jim Duffy just put on his glasses as if he was somehow going to be able to
no,
see.
No, I'm going to see Mark's number.
I take it we're doing it in miles, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to see Mark's miles.
Right, okay. Mark Guidi has given me his. Give me your attempt, Michael.
I think it's about high, Mark.
Played there a few times, and I think it was about 3,000.
He's gone 3,000 dead on. So he goes 3,000. There's quite a difference here because Mark Guidi has gone 6,929. The actual answer is only 2,635. Yeah. Oh, so Michael, by the way,
Michael
was only a couple of hundred out. Well done, Michael.
Well done, Michael. Good on you.
Well done, Michael. The sign ball is on its way. Congrats.
Congratulations, Michael. Thank you.
There we are. He was very nervous before he came on.
It's good on him.
And now you'll know. I'm if you're ever planning walking to Baku.
Is it not 12,000 round the world?
Walking to Motherwell
round the world, 12,000.
I don't know. Don't stop being a smarty pants sitting there. I'm
asking.
No idea. How would I know how many miles around the world?
No,
I don't know.
Australia, 12,000. Maybe that's something.
See, your son lives in Australia. You've just told us, and that's why. Maybe that's something. You've got the inside info.
It's just if you can't tell, I'm raging that I've lost.
Exactly. To be fair, there's not been many, has there? In recent times,
that's the first one in a couple of years. Well done, Michael.
Yeah, well done to Michael. I'm happy
as he
with
says
that.
Gritted.
Absolutely.
The same ball is on its way. I'm hoping to hear from Kyle Lafferty before the show ends. I don't know if Ronnie Charters is sending it back by carrier pigeon or something, but it's not quite made its way to my computer just yet.
How many miles is that?
He's just changing his budgie smugglers.
Yeah,
he's
getting ready to go.
Clothes.
I hope he's got the factor 50 on. I've told you the story when he went on pre-season with Rangers. But we're talking like third degree or something along those lines, Burns. The Rangers doctor had to intervene.
That's
all
right,
sorts.
Rangers doctor, that's
not
right,
great. Not great at all. Look after yourself, Ronnie. But send me Kyle Lafferty as quickly as you can if you're listening. We will just talk about that area of the field for Rangers. Get your calls in, please, on the game tomorrow. 01419511025. No Morelos. He's suspended. Kyle Lafferty leads the line. How important will his... When I say big game experience, I'm thinking about Northern Ireland in particular, because how many games do Northern Ireland go into away from home as underdogs and they manage to grind out results? How important might Kyle Lafferty be on that front?
He'll be a big player. You know, any striker who's given a task, particularly if you're up there on your own, it's a tough shift, as Ronnie's mentioned to us as well. The temperature is going to be high too. It's going to be warm tomorrow night. So yeah, Kyle Lafferty's going to have to hold it in. He's going to have to try and bully the central defenders, you know, as I say, keep it in there, give his teammates time up and support him, try and get it out wide if Tavernier's bombing forward, that kind of thing. But for me, the most important player tomorrow night, Gordon, is going to be Alan McGregor. You know, and maybe that's just stating the obvious, but he's been outstanding for Rangers in the four European qualifiers up until now. And once again, tomorrow night, he'll need to be in top form, because there is no doubt that he will have work to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Lafferty, as you say, uses that experience. And he did play as a lone striker for Northern Ireland. And it's sometimes a very lone striker. But, you know, when the chances came in the pivotal games, you know, he took them out, you know, maybe not recently, you know, the last few months, but certainly in the terrific campaign they had over the last couple of years. So, no, I think his experience will be vital. He's got to keep his discipline. And not because he's going to... I think he'll get carried away, but you know that it's a different type of game in Europe. So his challenges where he goes up and he puts his arm in and stuff like that. A lot of the continental players will take full advantage of that. They're rolling about, holding their face, trying to influence the referee. So, I mean, he's experienced enough to know that. But certainly, you know, I think he'll pose a threat. And I think Rangers will pose a threat through set pieces and that as well. They have got that physicality about them now. They can put some terrific deliveries into the box. I don't think he'll go three at the back. He tried that again away from home. I don't think it was ideal. That's when we've seen Golson having his kind of worst game when it went into three at the back. He didn't like the spaces in the channels. I think he'll stick to the four.
Rangers fans, I'm just wondering, with less than 24 hours to go, this is your last chance to be optimistic, really. Do you think you can cause a shock in the El Madrigal tomorrow? Yes or no? 01419511025. Give us a call right now. I mean, Alfredo Morelos is suspended. It takes that option away completely. We know Kyle Lafferty's going to start, but it reduces your options. It's fairly obvious on that front. How important will the players that remain be? Because we mentioned Jack not being there. He seems to me as if he would have played a big part in a game like that. Does that mean there's even more importance on, maybe Scott Arfield and Andy Halliday just completing this recovery from looking like he was going to be nowhere near the Rangers team towards the end of last year, back in and could even start in such an important game?
Yeah, I think it just shows you that if you keep as professional as you can be, if you work hard at training, if you show the manager that you've not thrown the toys at the pram, if you say, no, listen, when the opportunities come up, I'm ready to play, I want to be given that chance, like Andy Halliday, that's terrific. I love to see that. I love to see players who look as if they've got one foot out the door, and next minute they're dragged back in again, saying, no, you're part of my plans here because of your attitude. Your attitude's been brilliant, and we want you in and around the club. And I think that's great. And I think it's a message you can send out to a number of players who are currently not playing, who can say, listen, if I just keep working hard, my chance can come. For whatever reason, it could be an injury, it could be a suspension. You get in there and then you take full advantage of that. And all credit to Andy Halliday, he's done that. But they don't have a natural defensive midfield player without Ryan Jack, and I think that is a bit of a concern. Halliday did play it before under Pedro Coutinho. It didn't really work. He wants to get on the ball. He gets dragged to the ball at times. So discipline in the middle of the pitch, as I said earlier on, is going to be pivotal for Rangers. They cannot get exposed through the middle, and they cannot get dragged out into areas. So I'm not quite sure who's going to fulfil that role with Ryan Jack being missing. But I think it's a big miss for Rangers. I definitely do.
Certainly one thing that the Rangers management, Stephen Gerrard and his backroom staff, have been impressed with Andy Halliday has been his attitude. He's obviously got a strong connection to Rangers, his childhood team, etc, etc, and I think that's been a big advantage to him in terms of so many new players coming to the club, not all of them aware of Rangers and what it means, the manager being one included. So I think, as much as he's got a bit of ability, I think more so was the fact that he just made it abundantly clear that what Rangers means to him and what he wants to do to try and play his part, whether it be a small part over the course of the season or a large part. But certainly his career has been, it's been turned around from a year ago.
Here are the thoughts of Kyle Lafferty.
Yeah, I think it would probably top off a really, really great year for me to get a return back to the club I supported growing up. It's a dream come true again. Not many people get the chance to play for Rangers once. I've been lucky enough to play for twice, so everything that went wrong before, I'm going to put it right this time and give 110% in every game. Yeah, obviously having Alfredo missing is a big blow to us, but it gives myself a chance to come in and show the gaffer what I'm capable of doing. I'm confident in my own ability to cause problems in their defence, and if I'm given a chance to put one away, so hopefully obviously it goes my way tomorrow night and we walk away with the result that we want.
Andrew's a Rangers fan in Crookston. Can you do it tomorrow, Andrew?
I firmly believe we can possibly come away with something. Yeah, I do. The reason being, I think Lafferty up front on his own is a good option. Reason being, Morelos not playing, I think those defenders from Villarreal, they're the type that can maybe annoy Alfredo, and with his temper, he's the type of person to get himself sent off, which would be a huge blow. So that first and foremost, I think that's a positive where Lafferty been up front. Secondly, Andy Halliday, he's gone on earlier about Ryan Jack. I think Andy Halliday's been a completely different player this year under Gerrard. I watched him on Saturday at Ibrox. His work rate was absolutely fantastic. And basically, I think it just gives us, he gave us just as good a job as Ryan Jack has been given over the last few weeks when he'd been playing. So I firmly believe that although Villarreal have not got off to the best of starts in La Liga, although they won at the weekend against Leganes, I firmly believe maybe we can come away with a point. And I wonder what the panel think about that.
Aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't rule Rangers out. I mean, if you offered me a free bet, as I often say, Andrew, I would have to go with Villarreal. It's still a young Rangers team. They don't have the experience of playing against a La Liga side, albeit, as you say, you know, we have to remember it's no Barcelona or Real Madrid they're playing, but I would have to fancy home advantage Villarreal. That said, this Rangers team is resilient, it is organised, it is hard working, and they have a top class goalkeeper who can certainly help them pull them out of a hole now and again.
As do we. Have a top class goalkeeper.
Well, that's who I meant, yeah. Alan McGregor. Yeah, that's exactly who I meant.
And you can always sort of put whatever slant you want on it, Mark. I've heard that, you know, Villarreal, they've not started too well, but you can also say, well, they were the fifth best team in La Liga last season, and I think we all know the strength of that league.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why, you know, as I said, this is not Rangers, the Champions League team of 10, 12 years ago. This is Rangers, a young team, a young manager, with only a handful of you know, Lafferty and McGregor being your main ones. But other than that, those guys have no sort of big time European experience.
Thank you to Andrew in Crookston. If you want to have your say, it's 01419511025. We're also on Twitter at ClydeSSB. And after Mark Guidi's rage at losing Beat the Pundit, he'll have the chance to redeem himself on the full time teaser next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Get the result you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Keep the calls coming. You can also tweet, remember, at ClydeSSB, especially if you want to help out with this full time teaser. So we always set it up about this time every night, which means the guys have got about 30 minutes or so to come up, if possible, with the answers. I hope you've got some good questions of your own, because we're always looking for them. Fulltime at Clyde1.com. That's fulltime at Clyde1.com. Send them over. Right, this one's been sent in by John Smith, and it's got a bit of a story to it. That's what we always like, something a bit relevant, you know, he says. So against Belgium, Scotland conceded goals to players from Chelsea and Man United. You may remember the likes of Hazard, Lukaku on the score sheet. So, not including those capped by England, who are the last 10 players to have scored against Scotland that have played for Chelsea or Man United?
Right, okay, so
the last 10 players to have scored against Scotland and have played for either Chelsea or Man United, but not the English ones.
Okay, so played against Scotland.
Yeah, so we're not including Eden Hazard, Romelu Lukaku, because they did it the other night, but before that, the last 10.
Right. That have played it, okay.
Right, okay. Not English.
Any that spring to mind?
No.
I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, there are
Tori Andrew Flo?
No, but there are, you know, there are some big
Juan Mata
European striking names here. No.
Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink?
No.
Ida Gudjonsson Johnson?
Yes. Scored for Iceland against Scotland in 2008, and of course played for Chelsea, as you well know. So hopefully.
I'll give you another one. Ibrahimovic.
Yes. Scored against us for Sweden in 2010, and of course played for Man United. So you get the gist now. Sometimes
Ronaldo?
When you hear a few of the answers, no. He's never scored against Scotland. That's how good we are.
That
might change next month.
Which team has Ronaldo not scored against?
There we are, Scotland. Probably never played us, actually, now that I think about it. But
soon. Play this soon.
Exactly, yes. Ibrahimovic and Gudjonsson. Any more before we move on?
I think who Scotland have.
I mean, there's some big nations in here, I must say.
Yeah.
I'll give you some time to think. We'll get back to it. Plenty of time. Yes.
Michael Ballack.
Well done. Yep. For Germany back in 2003.
That's how far back we're going, right? Okay, good. That was wee Bertie's era.
Right, okay. 01419511025. Another news story coming out a bit earlier on today is that Kenny Miller failed his appeal against the red card shown to him in Dundee's 4-0 defeat at Ibrox on Saturday. Remember, it was a challenge on Borna Barisic. Kevin Clancy sent him off. Since we're all learning, let's just remind ourselves of the process. So the appeal goes in. With all the evidence, Kevin Clancy is then asked to give his explanation for the decision, but he's not asked whether he stands by the decision, if that makes any sense. He's not asked to re-referee it, but he's just asked to explain what he was thinking at the time. Okay. The independent panel, not the panel of three referees, the independent panel then judge if an obvious error has been made, and on this occasion they said no. Right call in your mind or not?
Yeah. Right call.
No
100%.
Complaints.
Yeah.
there goes that debate then. We might just have to move on quickly. No, seriously, that Kenny Miller, he still, he would have been a ban anyway.
Because I was surprised that he appealed it, to be honest.
In very similar circumstances where he just, you know, the one against Motherwell, where he it was a bad touch and he kind of lunged in and he gets sent off and then again. It wasn't a bad touch, but he was just sliding in and the player got there. But it was, you know, all the elements. He's not in control. He's endangering an opponent. You know, it's reckless, all that kind of stuff. And I think that's a red card nowadays.
Because bear in mind, he was already on a yellow. So had this been reduced to a yellow, I think there still would have been a ban anyway.
Yeah.
But of course, Dundee were maybe just hoping that that two-game ban became a one-game ban because they need all the help they can get at the moment, don't they?
Oh, well, they absolutely do. You know, a big... it's hard to see Neil McCann surviving. I hope he turns it around. Don't want to see any manager losing his job, but you know, I just a fear for them.
I think they've got Hibs in, and I think Hamilton. Yeah. I think, and obviously Kenny Miller. You know, they've brought him in, you know, to try and give him a go because that's the one area that not just the one area. There's been all the various elements, but you know, they just haven't been able to find the back of the net, and I've thought that, you know, Kenny could do that, and then missing two games at a pivotal time for them is crucial. So I can understand why they've taken the, was it £1,000 over, is to gamble, but I don't think it was ever going to be successful.
Jim Duffy, why do you guys keep coming back for more? Alan Stubbs, four league games. We're talking about Neil McCann. Can he survive much longer? What makes you keep coming back for more? It's a mad world.
Yeah, it is, but it's what you do. It's your job, and that's you know, you always think that next time You'll be better, you'll get it better, you'll get it right, you benefit experience, call it what you like. It just gets under the skin and the blood, and you just feel as if that is what you know best, that is what you've done all your life. And I think that that's the reason why, listen, every job that comes up, there's, you know, 50, 100, whatever applicants, doesn't matter where it's, or be Queen's Park just now with Gus leaving. Mm-hmm. I mean, they'll be inundated with, and people think, well, I mean, that's an amateur club, but because it's in the professional ranks, they will be inundated by applicants. You know,
that's not you telling us you're one of them in a Super Scoreboard exclusive, is it?
No, I haven't. But what I'm saying is, but they will be, any club, any job that comes up, part time, full time, whatever.
Yeah.
People look at Race Rovers
just now as well, three or four. Linked with that.
And when you're actually in the hot seat, in the dugout, then has your sort of feelings on it changed, say, from when you first went into management? Are you always aware of the fact that right now I'm half a dozen games away from getting the sack, whereas that previously wouldn't be the case?
Yeah, I mean, I've said before, social network is probably the single biggest difference, because people make their views during the game. You know, minute by minute.
You're a dud after 30 minutes.
Yeah, you could be, you know, the first 10 minutes, this is rubbish, you should be making changes, you picked the wrong team, and that kind of can stimulate conversation, and people can agree with that or whatever. So, and then that carries on, you know, and that volume can be targeted towards directors through social media, through the club social media, all these kind of things. And invariably, when that starts to happen, they get trigger happy. So, no, I think that's the single biggest difference over the last, whatever, five, yeah, seven
years. It definitely influences board members, chief executives, chairman, social media, because it can quickly gather pace. It's an instant opinion. I even know of one club who put out a poll directly, who would you like to be your next manager? And the guy that the club really wanted to appoint scored the lowest in the poll and ended up changing their mind. So they are heavily influenced. You're right, Jim.
Are you able to name this club? I can't remember that.
Well, I do. I don't know if it's common knowledge, but they're a top flight club. That's the case. So it's not for the betterment of the game.
No.
You know, the chief executives and chairman and board of directors should be much stronger. Yes, you've got to listen to the supporters, but they should also be stronger as well.
Okay, let's speak to Brian in Irvine. He's a Celtic fan. Hi, Brian.
Hi there, how you doing?
Hi, Brian.
What are your thoughts?
Go easy.
Oh, always, Brian. What made you call tonight then? What was it that hooked you in, so to speak?
I phoned up to defend Peter Law. In my opinion, this guy has done and continues to do a great job for Celtic. And I sometimes wonder what planet some of the Celtic fans are on that phone up to give this guy stick.
Jim Duffy, you actually made some pertinent points on this during the break to me. So, I mean, feel free to repeat them. The listeners won't have heard it.
Oh, I just feel that, you know, if you've, you know, won six domestic trophies on the bounce as a club, been in profit both years, increased your profit, and, you know, being in the Champions League two of those 3 years, I think just about any other club in the country would be bite your hand off for it. But unfortunately, because Celtic have set the bar so high, any little dip, and that's what it is, it's a mini dip just now, and that's what baffles me, you know, because Celtic fans are, yeah, by and large, they've been fantastic supporters of the club. But, you know, if they're having a wee dip just now, this is when, you know, you get behind your club and you support the club and say, listen, we know we're not firing all cylinders, but we still have a phenomenal manager. So we've got a terrific group of players. It's pretty much the same, take them barely out of it, the same group of players that have been so successful. They've added in some new players that will take a little bit of time. And as I say, but as far as a board and Peter Lawwell as a chief executive and the success of that, I think in any other business, if he was in, you know, a corporate business, he'd get a knighthood for what he's done instead of the stick he's going to get from some groups, I suppose.
Because Mark Guidi, this is obviously in the back of these financial results today. The Celtic's profit in the last year is very healthy. It's over 17 million. That is, of course, going to lead some fans to say, all well and good, why are we not spending more on the team? Why are we not, this is the phrase you hear all the time, backing Brendan Rodgers?
Yeah.
The wage bill, on the other hand, tells you Brendan Rodgers is definitely being backed. Maybe not by as many transfers as some fans would like to see, yeah, but he's being backed. The wage bill tells its own story.
Yeah, you know, he's been backed. I think the one transfer that really, you know, has been a negative effect on the Celtic board and Peter Law was not getting John McGinn over the line. And I can understand why Celtic supporters and the manager made it clear as well that he wanted him in. That said, if you assess Peter Lawwell's contribution as a chief executive, and remember what his role is. His role is the chief executive of the club. Then, you know, I think he's 15 years this year, October or November, it's 15 years. It's been outstanding what he's managed to do. And you know as well, Gordon, not only in terms of what he does in terms of the football club, but the way he has handled other situations, what he inherited, the way he deals with people, what he has managed to do in terms of, look at the influential boards that he's on in UEFA as well. So he's very, very good at his job. It may well be with someone like Peter Lawwell, who you're never going to be universally popular. That's just, that comes with the territory of that kind of role, is that he won't be appreciated until he's gone, until he's no longer in the job. But Celtic supporters should just be reminded of, yes, you might want to spend a bit of money. Yeah, you would rather see a profit of 10 million quid rather than 17, and that other 7 being spent in one or two players. But remember to look, just, you don't need to look too far to see what has happened to some other clubs when they haven't, you know, been careful with how about they go their business in a day-to-day fashion.
Brian, let's talk football. What are you thinking ahead of tomorrow's game?
Just before we talk about that, can I make another point about Peter? As Mark said earlier on to a previous caller, some people only want to focus on some of the points that suits their argument rather than remembering some of all the great things that he's done for the club, i.e. all the great sponsorship deals. Always seems to get the best deal for us with players, Wanyama, Armstrong, Foster, Dembele, Van Dijk. People forget about that money that he brings into the club. Somebody says he's cost the club 57 million. Well, I'm pretty sure if we sat down and worked out all the money he brought in, it was a lot more than 57 million. You know what I mean? And I think, as Mark just says there as well, you better be careful what you wish for, because it'd be an absolute disaster if Peter Lawwell left Celtic, in my opinion.
Thank you, Brian and Irvine. 01419511025. Jimmy is from Inverness, is a Rangers fan. Thoughts on tomorrow's game for you, Jimmy?
I think tomorrow night we're going to win 1-0.
Alright, confident. Where does the confidence come from then?
Well, if you look at Steven Gerrard and the way he's done a sort of European set out, he's set out not to concede, which he has done pretty well, but at the same time he's also set out to counter. And I think we actually have the players to do that. I think it's going to be backs to the wall. There's no doubt about it. Tomorrow night we'll be backs to the wall.
Jim, you're talking about sort of tactically drawing on football experience. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to... Obviously, Villarreal is a massive step up probably from what Rangers have faced before. I get that. But I'm just talking about how you approach games. How much confidence will Rangers take from, you know, having gone to Maribor and having to negotiate those types of fixtures? Like I say, I know it's a tougher test, but I'm talking about how you handle certain situations.
Yeah, I think the Maribor one in particular, you know, finishing the game with 9 men, or not just finished, they're playing a decent proportion of 9 men, keeper pulling off fantastic saves. They missed a couple of chances. But that belief, that going to that type of place and getting a result and qualifying, I think, will give Rangers a lot of heart. I think a lot depends. We heard Ronnie earlier on speaking about, you know, the fact is it could be close to a sellout. I think that will go against Rangers. Not because the Rangers players won't enjoy it, but because I think it'll stimulate Villarreal. I think if you play in a half-empty stadium, if you think, well, wait a minute, Europa League, we're not quite ready, you know, we're not quite up for it, then I think, of course, then Rangers can, you know, it's a bit more relaxed. Villarreal maybe not have quite that bit between their teeth. But I think if it's a full house, I don't see Rangers winning, because I think Villarreal will then have a duty to really play at the level they can play for their fans. So I think, you know, for me, I'd like, as much as you want to play, I think if there's a few empty spaces about tomorrow, I think it'll help the atmosphere, which will kind of take the tempo out of the game a little bit, and I think that'll help Rangers. So I think a lot could depend on how many people's here tomorrow night, because that stadium, as Mark knows, it's very compact. It doesn't take a lot to create an atmosphere. And I think when Villarreal are up for it, listen, you know, as much as they might not be brilliant so far this season, they are a very good side. A very good side. Not a top side, but a very good side.
Jimmy, is Ryan Jack a big loss, or are there other players there who can fill that void?
I think, yes, Ryan is a loss. But if you look at Andy Halley's form in the last while, the way he stepped into the place, I think, for instance, perhaps Halliday's more attacking-minded. I think he'll urge the team more forward, as where Ryan Jack will take the ball in and try and spread it left to right. I think with Andy Halliday, he'll try and get it far quicker forward.
Okay, thanks to Jimmy in Inverness. It's 01419511025 to join in. Mark Guidi was sort of waving at me during that call.
Not
because he's happy to see me, but because he's got some answers, I assume.
I've got some guesses.
I'll remind you of the question. So, not including those capped by England, the last 10 players to have scored against Scotland and have also played for Chelsea or Man United, the likes of Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Eider Gudjonsson, Michael Ballack so far.
Ruud van Nistelrooy.
That's what I've got.
Yeah, not only did he score against Scotland, he did it Patrick. Three times, didn't he, in one night. So that was a tough one.
Cesc Fabregas.
No.
Adam Robin.
No.
Shevchenko.
Yes. Remember it, Ukraine 2007.
Yep.
So you've got 1, 2, 3,
halfway
4.
Halfway there.
Yeah, 5 to get.
Okay.
All right, I'll give you some thinking time, shall I?
Yeah.
We'll get back to that after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.
Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. And you know what that means? That means that they're scrambling around frantically to come up with the answers to John Smith's full-time teaser. Send your questions in, please, if you've got any full-time at clydeone.com. We'd love to have them on the show. So we're looking for the last 10 players who've scored against Scotland, not including Englishmen, and they've played for Chelsea or Man United, the likes of Ibrahimovic, Gudjonsson, Shevchenko, Van Nistelrooy and Ballack.
Duff's pulled an absolute belter out the bag.
This is fantastic. Share it with us all.
Depay.
Memphis Depay. Remember Memphis it Netherlands Depay. Just in the game that Malky Mackay was in charge of.
November at Pittodrie.
Yep. Well done in that one. That's a great shout, Depay. So you're only looking for another 4.
But I'll go Olivier Giroud.
Yes.
A friendly pre-Euro 2016.
Yeah, that. Remember that unforgettable friendlies. He scored twice
the
actually
one I think he regrets.
Giroud. Which means you're only 3 away.
3 to get.
The only clue I'll give you, you're talking 2 from big international footballing nations, and
not
one,
necessarily European.
They're all European.
They're all European, right?
And one from slightly smaller, but they've still got a decent European pedigree, but smaller than the other two, if that makes sense.
Okay. I think.
You do that. Just if you're interested in this sort of thing, Moussa Dembele on the bench for Lyon tonight against Man City. And it's scary, Jim, that I'm looking at some of the big teams and the lineups coming in. Some of them now rest players for Champions League group games. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, well, you know, I was looking at Man City tonight and they have Aguero, I think, in company in particular to Insani, but I know he's not been, you know, playing. Oh no, it's a Manny. Sorry, Sani. Get my Sani's, my Manny's mixed up.
Manny.
But you know, those two players in particular, Company and Aguero, are normally, you know, absolute certs to start, but they're on the bench. And you know, again, it just shows you the strength and depth that these teams have. And Dembele, £20 million for Lyon on the bench. You know, it's just, it just seems ridiculous, but that's just the way it is at the top level.
Okay, 01419511025. Let's squeeze in another couple of calls. Stuart's in Cumbernauld. He's a Rangers fan. Hi, Stuart.
Hi, Gordon.
Hello, what's your point tonight, Stuart?
My point is, I was at Ibrox on Saturday, and all of a sudden, Andy Halliday is getting mentioned as a football player for Rangers again. I couldn't believe my eyes when I seen he was in the team on Saturday. Now, I was reading the paper midweek, Ross McCrory anchored the Scotland under 21 team, got a great victory in Holland.
Yeah, captained them as well.
And we turned up on Saturday. We've got a manager who was a top midfield player. We've got an assistant manager who is a top midfield player. And we are anchored by Andy Halliday. And we've got guys on the phone in the night saying, oh, Andy done this, Andy done that. I must have been at a different game. If Andy Halliday can get a game for Rangers, Rangers on the moving forward, and staying a stone's throw or born a stone's throw for Ibrox and being a Rangers fan, doesn't make you a Rangers player?
Well, maybe these top midfielders and Gerrard and McAllister that you mentioned are seeing something in them that you're not, Stuart.
Gordon,
I'm just plain devil's advocate.
Got a good eye. Jim's got a good eye. And I know they move in the circles of professional footballers. Let's not be kidded. Rangers won't move forward this season when Andy Halliday is still getting a jersey. Not a chance.
No, Stuart, I can see where you're coming from, and I would say that if Rangers, you know, want to get to where, or to get to where they want to be and feel that they should be, yeah, I'd agree. I think eventually guys like Andy Halliday will be left behind. But what you've also got to remember is that they can't achieve everything overnight or in one transfer window. So you are going to have guys sort of left over that come in. Another thing too, I would say, if you look at the impact that Brendan Rodgers made at Celtic, look at some of the players he turned around. James Forrest, Stuart Armstrong, even Scott Brown, who up to that point, you know, we're thinking they might be finished, or their best days are behind them, or they'll need to move on or whatever. And all of a sudden, Dedic Boyata, you know, he absolutely revitalised them. So I think as a Rangers supporter, Stuart, you've got to back who the manager goes with and give them your support on that day. But bigger picture, I kind of agree with what you're saying, and I know where you're coming from.
Mark, just another point. You take Ross McCrory, as Gordon says, captain Scotland to a fine victory in Holland. When have you ever heard of a Scotland team winning in Holland?
Yeah,
that boy must have been at the top of his game, coming back to Ibrox, and they're playing Dundee, and they need disrespected Dundee, but they're treading water big time.
Yeah.
Right. Ross McCrory would have strolled through that game, and it would have done his confidence the world a good.
Well, maybe, you know what, the other way that maybe Gary, Stephen Gerrard and his backroom staff have looked at it is McCrory's played a couple of games, high pressure, you know, they would have a lot of work to do in that Holland game, whereas Halliday's been a bit fresher. Maybe that's what they've thought, that's the thinking behind that decision too.
Thanks to Stuart in Cumbernauld. Any more on the teaser quickly?
Fernando Torres?
No.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Did I say Mata?
He did, he's not one.
He's not one. There must be a Spaniard in
no,
there.
There's not.
Oh, there's not?
No.
Oh, right, there mustn't be.
Right, okay, a couple more minutes. Kevin is in Bishop Briggs. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, good evening, gents. How are you doing this evening?
Not bad, Kevin.
Yeah, great show. Just to back up your crazy Peter Lowell, I think he's a class act as chief executive. One start, I was amazed at your $60 million wage bill, gents. That's a big number for Scotland, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's too big.
I might be wrong, my intelligence might be wrong, but one of my friend's boys had just recently signed professional terms with Celtic. And I believe he got a squad number of something like 74 or 94. You might know better than me, Mark, how many professional boys are on the books there.
I would imagine it would be in the 70s, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know for sure. Someone told me they were up at Lennox Town recently and they saw someone with a triple-digit squad number. That's not to say that it goes all the way up, but they spotted a youth team player. But Kevin, is your general point about the number of players that are being carried there and the impact that has on the wage bill?
Peter Lowell's got a point. Surely if he's got 74 professionals, we should be able to have a Scottish centre-half that can do the business. And that must be down to, is it because John Pat's left, or is there a bit of an issue with the scouting system? Of the coaching system, you know, the boys have done tremendously well, but I don't think Peter's been unfair to ask a bit more of his management team.
No, I mean, I'd say earlier on that the you know, I'm a bit surprised, particularly at the front area, because even at the youth levels and the reserve levels and that, Celtic normally dominate not all of the games, but a good number of those games. So therefore, you know, a goal scorer in the creative side.
Suppose you'd be kind of hoping, we're hoping maybe Jack Aitchison, the youngest ever goal scorer, he's on loan at Dumbarton this season.
Yeah, no, maybe. But again, he's only, I think, 18 or something like that. And I'm just saying over the last maybe 10 years or so, you would have expected Celtic to produce a striker. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, a striker, because they're always on the front foot. And the dynamics of the youth and the reserves haven't really changed that much. You know, and you the likes of Sean Maloney now, and, you know, obviously, you know, in amongst them, I know Scott Brown helps out. But they've produced some talented players. As I've said before, I'm not decrying the youth system. I'm just saying in that particular area.
Thank you to Kevin and Bishop Briggs. Right, you've got three to go on the teaser. What are you coming up with? Nope.
A German?
Nope.
Is there another Belgian? No.
No, right, I'll...
You need to help me.
Yeah, you've not got the one from the Netherlands. You've got another one from the Netherlands that you've missed. It's a relatively obvious one, easy for me to say, but you've got Van Nistelrooy. It's not some of the other ones you've mentioned.
It's not Robin.
Not Robin, but it's... Maybe that's his first name.
Robin Van Persie.
Van Persie.
Bobster, of course.
Right, okay, so the two you've got left, I'll give you the country.
Okay.
Italy.
Said that Italy. One, didn't
it's not Inzaghi.
Italy.
No.
Kazaragi.
And he was back recently, wasn't he? Last Monday night. Who did Scotland play?
Oh, Costa. Panucci.
Christian Panucci.
Panucci.
And the last one. Now you will be. Now you will be kicking yourself over this one.
Is he a Dane or something?
He is a Dane. The obvious Dane.
Oh, Brian Laudrup.
Brian Laudrup.
There we go. Brilliant.
Well, we got there in the end. Thank you to Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy for joining me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Thanks as always go to you. Thanks for your calls, your tweets, and for listening. We'll do it all over again tomorrow in the company of Mark Wilson and Gordon DL. In the meantime, don't go anywhere, because Callum Gallagher's up next. He's got music from Calvin Harris and Zed to keep you entertained.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Win the compensation you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.